morning, church. You know, when I was a kid, I have this memory of when sometime after my mom married my stepdad and he cooked his dinner and he made ham. And just ham, nothing special. And I remember just refusing to eat it. I did not want to eat it. And he made me sit at that table. I don't know who won. I can't remember if I actually ate it or not. But I remember sitting at that table for a very, very long time. Now, this is the kind of thing you hear about maybe in a story or a movie, but this actually did happen to me. And I remember as a kid thinking, when I grow up, I'm never going to do nothing I don't want to do. And I've learned two things from that. One is, I don't know why I was such a butt about not eating ham, because ham is good, and my son loves it. But two, how wrong that statement is because I do things I don't want to do all the time. And I think that's an important lesson to look at, especially when Paul gets to the 13th chapter of Romans and tells us to submit to the authorities. So let's keep that in mind as we go to God in prayer. Dear most Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together. We thank you for the brothers and sisters in Christ that we have, that even though with the holidays, that some are sick, some are traveling, some are not here for various reasons, and Lord, we ask you to be with them and bring them back to us safe. We also ask that you help us to open our hearts and our minds for what you have to teach us as we explore this text. We give thanks in your most heavenly name we pray. Amen. Yes, this lesson, submit to your authorities. I actually did this lesson earlier this year. In fact, I thought about skipping the 13th chapter of Romans altogether, and I thought, well, that would be kind of weird. So I had to go and look at what I said before, and I had to go and look at what can I say that's new about it. And so you're going to hear some of the same things today, but I think that this is a good message to hear, especially because all of us just did something really important last week, two weeks ago. What do? We voted. We voted for the people we want to submit to, right? Isn't that great? Because we live in what I believe is a great country. In fact, I'm going to be ethnocentric. I think it's the best country. And it is enshrined in our Constitution. We see it in the first part of the text where it says, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves, our prosperity, do order and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." I love this country. And I love what I have for being a citizen of this country. Sure, I have responsibilities, and maybe some of these things I don't want to do. Maybe I don't want to completely obey the law. Do you know, I think jaywalking is the dumbest law that we have. I feel like if you want to cross the street, you should be able to cross the street and not have to go to a crosswalk. I certainly don't like paying taxes. Or other things that go towards government programs that I'm pretty sure are a waste of time and effort and money. I do want to serve on jury duty. I've never gotten to do that. Someday I hope to get to do that. But I also don't think it's fair that only males have to register for the Selective Service. But then we also have other responsibilities. We have the right to vote. We have the right to run for office, work for the government, and especially serve our community. And I think that's one of the great ways as we as the members of this church can really be a part of this great nation. Now, it's not to confuse our civic duty with our rights. And all of you know these rights. So I'm not going to talk most about them. But I really want to hamper this first one. Glorify this first one. Because if it's not for this first one, we would not be here today. We would not be here in this place at this time worshiping our God. Because somewhere, someplace, someone probably thought, hey, they don't need to do that. In some places in the country, they could not do that. But I think because of the First Amendment, that is the best thing that we have as Americans. So when we look back at these words that Paul writes in Romans 13 says, let every person be subject to governing authorities. I think it's great that it's not that difficult for us to do. But Paul is just not saying this to us. He's saying this to the people of his time. And that certainly is something that they had to think about, because they had to follow who? They had to follow Caesar. And Caesar was not always a very good guy. In fact, we know that all Caesars, most Caesars, were actually pretty bad guys. They did terrible things. Yes, they did good things too, but they did terrible things. And as we talked about earlier in this study series, that Caesar, or Emperor Claudius Caesar, because Caesar's a title, was the one that kicked all the Jews out of Rome. And it was when he died and the new Caesar came back to power that they were finally able to come back to Rome, and then they have the church with the Jews and the Gentiles, and now they're arguing and bickering because they didn't grow up together and learn to work together in harmony. And so by Paul making this statement, he's directly speaking to the people who would have personally experienced persecution under a leader. And so it's very good that Paul tells them this particular thing, especially as how they look at, do we like him? Should we support him? What should we even follow him? Let me change this up a bit. How many people like Biden? I don't see a single hand. Good, that's what I thought. No, it doesn't matter. He's our leader. And as such, we need to be able to support him, especially submit to him as he says. Now, Paul, before Paul gets to this point, we need to realize that these statements were basically a long time coming in what Paul has already told us. Last week we talked a lot about Romans chapter 12, or the last 2 weeks we talked a lot about Romans chapter 12, and one of the things that Paul told us is that we need to be above the world. Now the problem with that is a fundamental command that puts the church on a collision course with the secular society means that we have to operate in both. So how do we operate in a world being above the world but still submit to the world that tells us that we have to obey its laws? We have to follow the things. We know that our citizenship here might exist in the United States, but we also know that this is not our final destination. Our final destination is in heaven. We also know who's really in charge. Who's in charge? God's in charge. In fact, did you say you're in charge, Emery? Emery, I think I'm going to follow God, but that's okay with you. Yes, we also know who's in charge. God's in charge, and Christ sits at the right hand of God. And while one of those people can certainly have me killed, in fact, both those people can certainly have me killed, only one of those is going to destroy my soul. And I'm going to tell you, I'd much rather follow God than any president or any leader that has ever lived on this earth. It's also important to note that saying Jesus is Lord is a political statement. Maybe not in our time period, maybe not in our place, but we certainly know that the statements that we read in the Bible, such as, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. How do you think Caesar took that line? You think he would have been very happy about that? I don't think so. Or when they say, they don't worship Caesar, they worship another king. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and those that he had called are his true and faithful servants. If I was a leader, especially a leader in the time of the first century or the time of this church, I think those would scare me because that might challenge my authority. But Paul says, yes, all these things are true, but you still have to submit yourselves to these authorities because God said so. I really think that's what this whole section boils down to, is listen to your government because God put them there and he said so. You know how your kids ask you a million questions, you might give them all the logical answers, but they keep saying, why? Anybody else had that experience? Is that just me? And you finally just go, because I said so, that's why. This is God saying, because I said so, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. But God is good. If that's the one thing I know about God, is I know He is absolutely good. So if God put these governments on the planet, why are there bad governments? Why are there horrible leaders? Why are there people who go out and kill in the name of their country? Because God can be glorified in good. God can be glorified in bad. In fact, we even see this in the Old Testament. This is old hat. We know that God appoints these nations to advance His purpose. He makes nations great, and He destroys them. He enlarges the nations, and He leads them away. But we also know He does it to punish other nations. You know who needed punishment? Israel needed punishment. That's why He took an evil leader like King Nebuchadnezzar and He raised him up and He said, if you don't follow me, this is what's going to happen to you. Did they follow him? No. What happened to them? They got destroyed. Some of them lived, yes. But then those that lived had to suffer the punishment of exile. God allows good and bad to happen because we live in a broken world. And we have to live with the consequences of being in this broken world. And one of the things He says, we have to submit to these earthly authorities. We also submit because it's good for us that there's civil authority. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good and you will receive his approval. How many of you like chaos? I don't. You guys ever read those old creation stories that you might find in other parts of the world? Not like the Bible creation stories, but the other ones. One thing that they've noted that a lot of those have in common is they are absolute chaos. And so a lot of people think that the reason our creation story is so vastly different from theirs is because theirs is about chaos and ours is about order. Our God is a God of order, and He puts these civil authorities in charge to prevent chaos. And as such, it's good for us that they are here. Maybe not a great reason, but certainly a good one. It's also good. If we don't follow him, he says, I will punish you, or more specifically, they will punish you, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God and avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. You don't follow the law? Fine. You're going to suffer the consequences. In China, I think Rachel and I played jump rope with this line. Because China has most of the same laws that we do. But there was one law in China that we broke all the time. We evangelized. And I think if there is a law where that's a thing, then that's one you should definitely break. But China also had another rule. Don't make problems. And we were very good at not breaking problems. In fact, they told us that they probably know what you're doing. And they're going to let you do what you're doing because you're not going to be the kind of person to make problems. And I really think this is why God is saying this right here. He's saying, be a good person so you don't have to worry about the other things that are going on in the place that you live in. If you're good, people are probably going to be good for you. If you're not making problems, you have nothing coming back at you. And that way you can do the things that God has called you to do. And what's our number one calling as Christians? To share the gospel. How can we share the gospel if we're restricting ourselves by not doing things like going to a crosswalk? or breaking the speed limit. Now, that's probably going to give me a fine. It's probably not going to put me in jail. But the more serious stuff, certainly. God calls us to submit to these authorities, because if we don't, he says, our conscience will condemn us for breaking God's law. You guys remember what Paul says in Romans chapter 1? That God wrote on our heart the things that are right and wrong. This is not merely a matter of breaking the law of the land. This is breaking the law of what God has called us to do. So when we break the law of the land, we are not only making a slap in the face to that law, but we are also slapping God's face. They are there because God allows them to be. Therefore, one must be in subjugation not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of consciousness. Then he tells us the thing I hate the least. I hate the most. Paul says, pay your taxes. Pay your taxes. Sounds awful just thinking about it. I had to pay my property tax this week. Personal property tax, you guys know what that is? On your vehicles and your farming equipment you owe. Is that going to be a pretty penny? No other place in the world have I ever lived makes you pay personal property tax. I just think that's ridiculous. I already bought the car. Why do I have to keep paying for it? But Paul says, for because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them. Tax to whom tax is owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed. I thought a lot about this. And I thought, this actually does make a lot of sense. Because there's only one being in all of creation I should ever be indebted to. And that's God. Why would I risk myself being a slave to another person or another place or another thing? Because Jesus already said, nobody can serve two masters. So pay your taxes so you don't have to do it. As Christians, we have a lot going on for us. Though, unlike our constitutional rights, our Christian rights are few and conditional. We certainly get to stand with God in heaven. We certainly get to eat and drink. We certainly get to work for a living. But the things that we should do as Christians, besides being subjected to God and the local authorities, is to share the gospel. To be devoted to Him. To be courageous. I know I'm flying through these things, but I've already told you this year. This is just a quick reminder. I don't always like doing these things. And some of these things scare me. Especially where God says, stand up for what is right. Even in the face of persecution. And it is our responsibility to do these things. Just like it is our responsibility to obey and honor our governments. Be subjected to them. And even though there might be times where you don't want to, or you feel like you have to, you better be absolutely sure you are breaking those rules for a good reason. But more than anything, give God your allegiance, because it is only in Him that we have eternal salvation. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way, feel free to come forward as Jeff leads us in song.